morning. I want to say welcome to everybody watching us on Lifeway Live and everyone in person. We are on the tail end of our series called Reclaiming Your Mind, and we have based that off of Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. So let's do a quick review of where we're at with this reclaiming your mind, because the Bible has a lot to say about our attitudes and the motivations that we have in our lives. So there's not much of anything that you do that you didn't first think about. Now, you may argue that, well, a lot of times you just do things automatically. No, not until they become a pattern. Until it becomes a pattern, it's not automatic. Everything has to be done enough that the brain, those neurotransmitters in your brain, decide that this is an automated thing. For example, do you remember back in driver's ed, for those old enough to remember when we did it in school, do you remember how when you got in that car, the driving instructor said there was like 114 steps to start the car? I'm like, what, are you kidding me? But it's like, sit down, seatbelt on, put the key in, press on the brake, turn the key, put it in gear, take your foot off the brake. We all had to learn that, right? We had to learn to do it in that order too. But now you don't think about it when you drive, do you? As a matter of fact, you can get in your car, light the booster rockets on it, turn on your phone, have a chat going, you know, probably Facebook Live-ing, and you're doing 85 through the residential neighborhoods and don't even think about it anymore. So it's what becomes a habit in our lives that we're talking about. And so to reclaim our minds, that means that we have to do what? We got to get rid of some things, but we must replace it with the right things. And so in Proverbs 4:23, as we talked about this last week, it says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. So true. So true. Be careful of your thoughts, because they will run your life. Your thoughts can either lead you to trusting God, believing in God, understanding God and knowing Him better, or your thoughts can drive you away from God. Remember how we've discussed people in your life that are negative all the time? I hope you don't have too many of those folks, because they can drive you crazy, can't they? It's just like, it's like they're just sucking the wind out of the room when they walk in. Can you identify with me? It's like, oh no, they're here. And then you realize you married them and they just walked into the kitchen. Right? No amens right here, because we'll be doing marriage counseling next sermon series. But when you're around people that are negative, they normally pull you down. Rarely do you lift them up, because you can be as positive as you want and they can find something negative about being positive. Just this last week alone, I was talking to a local rancher and I said, you must feel blessed beyond measure. And he goes, how's that? And I said, all this rain. Most everybody's low on hay right now. I said, have you cut hay yet? Oh, yeah. But I tell you what, it's probably going to dry up. It's going to dry up like it always does. And then I'm like, but you've already got to cut hay, right? Yeah, but who knows if we'll get a second or not. You doing it. That's the guy we've been praying for rain for, y'all. Now, I bet as his pasture was flooding, he was like, yeah, it's not going to last. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts will run your life. And then to that, we talked about 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, the Apostle Paul said, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. Stop right there for just a moment. What does it mean when we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against God? This is everything God has told us. Anything God has told us that our mind or someone else says or society thinks, we are to destroy that argument and that lofty opinion that is raised against the knowledge of God, and then do what? Take every thought, what? Captive to obey Christ. Somebody said, we live in such trying times. I'm so full of anxiety with what's going on in society and everything. And I'm like, it's all static. It's all static. Matter of fact, if you can watch the news every day, what color is the pill you take? Because I'd like one. There's no way you can keep up with that stuff. Is it possible that God may have to use this to cause America to wake up? For Christians to start acting like Christians? And stop being afraid to say, well, listen, I don't agree with you. I love you, but I don't agree with you. But that's not what the Lord says. See, we take every thought captive. And so if we're going to take every thought captive, every lofty idea raised against the kingdom of God, that means anything that is contrary to the word of God should be locked up and chained down. And so that means all the negative thoughts and all the anxiety and all the negativity in our lives. I don't care how broken down you are today, how messed up your family is, how broke you are. If you're a child of God, you are the most richly blessed person sitting in this room. We judge our standards against an unholy world standards. We'll never be happy because the bar keeps moving in society. Did you know that the poorest of poorest people in America, I'm talking people that are poor, did you know that they have more food than over 70% of the world has? Did you know in America we throw away more food than most countries need to survive on? We throw it away. We don't know how good we've got it, do we? Is God maybe trying to show us that? I don't know. But all I know is our minds must be centered on God. Because there's nothing that's going to happen tomorrow that's going to surprise God. Do y'all understand that? Nothing happened last week that didn't surprise God. Okay? He knows. And if we look at our passage, Philippians 4, 8, and 9, this is a summary, y'all. When Paul says this, it's a summary. What did he say right before this? Because he's in chapter 4, he's finishing it out. He said, be anxious for nothing, but pray about everything. Right? And then he said, don't have any fear, trust in the Lord. So everything he said was building up God's kingdom and God's kids, and he was tearing down everything that the world had to say. They were facing all kind of opposition. Paul was facing opposition. And then he came up with this, finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. And then he goes off into verse 9 and he says, whatever is commendable. Now that phrase commendable, that's where we're at today, okay? Now this phrase commendable has been translated, what is admirable? What is worthy of repeating? What is worthy of saying again? And then he says, and if there's any excellence and if there's anything worthy of praise, what'd he say? Think on these things. Where should our mind be stayed? On the things of God. Only I can say this, but only a child of God who is a mature believer, who has trusted God, can understand what I'm about to say. And it is my prayer that if you don't understand this, you begin praying for understanding today and ask for God to open up your heart to listen to His Spirit. Because only a mature child of God can be in the midst of a chaotic storm and still say, peace unto my soul, I feel. I am at peace. It doesn't mean crazy is not happening all around you. It doesn't mean that your bills automatically got paid. It doesn't mean that your body is all of a sudden healed. What it means is no matter what circumstance you're in, you still know and have been stayed on the fact that God is on the throne. Your Father, your heavenly Father is on the throne. And nothing slips past Him. Now, if that be true, everything we go through in life needs to be in the context of, I may not understand this, I definitely don't like it, I definitely don't want it, but God, you dwell inside of me. Guard my heart, guard my mind. And may I remember to thank you for everything. Now, if you think that's not possible, remember there was a man way before they even recorded things. His name was Job. It's that book of your Bible called Job. You know, if more people read that, less people be on unemployment today, right? That guy went through everything. So he says this. Think about things that are worthy of repeating. That's what we're talking about today. He says, think about things. Focus on things that are worthy of being repeated. Have you ever said something that wasn't worthy of repeating? Well, the hypocrites and liars, please stand up. Sometimes it just came out of your mouth. I know right now the Pentecostals are going, he finally spoke in tongues. You just open your mouth and it just comes out and you're like, oh, have you ever said something and go, why did I say that? Really what you mean is, why did I say it in front of them? Now if you're married, it looks like this. Honey, I didn't mean to say that. No, don't lie. You look your husband dead in the eye and you say, wait a minute, let me rephrase that. I didn't mean to say it in front of you. I didn't mean to say it. I just didn't want you to hear it. But have you ever heard something that was worthy of repeating? We're not talking about gossip here, y'all. Because this is that which is honorable, that which is worthy, either a person or a character that is worthy of repeating. That means that what comes out of our mouth, and if we keep this verse in context, don't run off with this. We'll talk about gossip later. That's not what he's talking about. What is worthy to be repeated? He just told us to not fear, didn't he? He just said don't have anxiety, didn't he? He just said trust God, he's in control, didn't he? Now, when he says this, what he's saying is, if you look at our verses 8 and 9, everything he says, if there's anything pure, Jesus, if there's anyone honorable, Jesus, if there is anything worthy of praise, what is worthy of praise? Our Savior, Jesus Christ. We just sang, did you worship? Did you worship or did you stare at the screen? Or did you do the redneck caveman? I'm macho. I don't sing. Yeah, well, there's colors in the chair in front of you then. Honestly, had a guy tell me that I'm a real man, so I don't sing. I thought, you real? You are real. Real men don't sing. I said, whew, you sure you going to heaven?
Yes.
I hope I get to stand next to you in the choir. You ever heard a song that just repeats itself over and over? You know, criticism has come to some modern day songs. 10 years ago, some of the older pastors would say, I don't like singing them 7-Eleven songs. 7-Eleven? What's a 7-Eleven song? Oh, it's seven words and you say them 11 times. Well, the argument there would be that if you say something over and over again, you just may become repetitious with it, you know? Kind of like saying a prayer 5 times or something. But then again, repetition helps us to remember, doesn't it? So I want to drag you all the way back to the Psalms. Psalms 136. Now, you know that Psalms are actually songs. It's a song. And so I'm going to read the first 9 verses, but y'all follow with me and see if you pick up anything that might sound like it's repeating. Stay with me now. Now, this is a psalm. This song was written, and they would sing this song. This is one of the many songs they would sing as they were traveling or journeying up to the temple. It'd be kind of like us walking all the way to outside of town, but we're going to sing all the way there. So that manly man that can't sing, he probably can't walk either, you know. So listen to what they sang as they walked up there. First 9 verses, here's what they said. They would sing, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of God, for His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords, because His love endures forever. Verse 4, to Him alone does great wonders. His love endures forever. Who by His understandings made heaven, His love endures forever. Any of you guys go to public school catching on yet? Verse 6, who spread out the earth upon the waters, His love endures forever. Who made the great lights, His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, His love endures forever. And the moon and the stars to govern the night, His love endures forever. Did anybody pick up on a possible theme? If not, there is 26 verses. We can do them all if you'd like. That this song is a history of God freeing the nation Israel when they were captives back from the Egyptians, okay? It starts with the Egyptian captivity and goes all the way to God setting them free and taking them to that land that flows of milk and honey. There's a lot in this one little song. But we're just going to focus on the first 9 verses. So, what I want to do now will be painful for a few of you. Bring back some bad feelings for others. And for the rest of you, you're going to be like, I knew this was a cult. So let's go back, and can we just put verse 1 back on the screen? Now, do y'all see that bottom phrase? His love endures forever. Can all the real men in here read those words? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read the first part, and I want y'all to verbally, out loud, say the rest of it. Now, if y'all don't participate, I'm talking to the Baptist. If you don't participate, we're going to stand and sing it. And I'm going to lead. You don't want that. So let's start. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To Him alone does great wonders. Who by His understanding made the heavens. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. Who made the great lights. The sun to govern the day. And the moon and stars to govern the night. Now, if you remember nothing else about today, it is my prayer that you leave remembering this one thing. His love endures forever. If His love endures forever, and you are His child, then His love for you endures forever. You know what it means, endure? It means that it's going to suffer all things. It's going to go through hard times, but guess what? He's going to love you forever. Not everybody here is going to live a life like your favorite TV show. Okay? Some of you are too young to remember, but do you remember when they could solve a problem in 30 minutes? I don't care if you're on Gilligan's Island or a mom with three girls married a dad with three boys, they could solve it in 30 minutes. Marcia could get hit in the nose with a football, break her nose, and still make it to prom and look good. 30 minutes. They could run out of coconut pie, but Gilligan and the professor could talk Marianne to making another coconut pie. See what I'm saying? They could fix it in 30 minutes. But the sad thing is, some of us in society, we have went away from trying to solve our problems to just living in chaos. Some of the most watched TV right now today, don't raise your hand, has got people fighting with each other. The housewives of fill in the blank. Unreal people living unrealistic lives. You know what, if I dislike a heifer that much, I wouldn't be in a room with her. But they just pick and nag and nag and pick, and then they hug and cry and make up, and then turn around and say, I tell you what, I never liked her anyway. And some of you think that's real. I want you to know, if you believe the housewife shows, slip off into the man cave with your husband and watch some WWF. Because that guy coming off the top rail doing a double backflip with a bloody nose, landing on this guy, and that guy still being able to break out of an 8-second hold is as real as those women fighting with each other. Now, I thought they took it too far when, I'm going to use the correct word here. I almost said midget, and I know that's not right. They said the little people. They have some little women. They like to be called little people. I was told that. I was corrected. They don't like that word. Well, they liked it in The Wizard of Oz. But it even had little people fighting with each other. I'm like, they're the most happy people I ever met in my life. And now they got them fighting and backbiting. And they're actually encouraged to do this by the producers. They just egg them, like you in junior high, when you're like, come on, go fight him, go fight him, go fight him. You know, you're the one who shoved him into the guy so they'd start the fight. And those are the chaotic thoughts that go on in our mind. And if that's what you watch on TV, then that's the state of your mind. Because it says, be careful what you think, because it does what? It'll run your life. It will direct your life. So here's the thing, y'all. We must think about what we think about. Have you ever stopped and considered what you think about? Have you thought about what you think about? What's on your mind most of the time? Is it positive or is it negative? Are you focusing on the trials and tribulations of this world or on your Heavenly Father? whom one day soon we're going to see. And you're going to walk through the gates of the great city. Remember? What's that gate made out of? Anybody remember? Anybody read that far ahead? The old timey name is what? The Pearly Gates. And it said that gate is made out of one pearl. Y'all, that's not an 8-foot door. It's not a 10-foot insulated door. That door is bigger and taller than you can imagine. And that's just the gate to get in. And then the streets are made of... We work in our whole lives missing our children, not spending time with our wives, so we can buy pavement. You're buying pavement. You're sacrificing your time with the Lord, your family, and sharing the gospel with other people because what? You want a bigger pile of pavement in this world. Said like that, does it make any sense now? We must have an attitude of gratitude. How many of you see the storm clouds but fail to stay outside long enough to see the rainbow? How many of you, you may not be an early bird, but how many of you enjoy seeing a good sunrise? Well, I want you to know that everybody that serves on the life team, the band, the AV, everybody that's here, you know, they wake up the chickens to get here in time on Sunday morning to do it. They know what sunrise looks like. How many of you like a good sunset? Anybody got a good view from where you live, a good sunset? Man, is God just showing off or what? And sometimes you just need to stop and go look at it and recognize that's just God turning the lights off and look how beautiful it is. Oftentimes, Eric and I, one of us will call the other, hey, you got to come see this. And then just like a couple idiots, we just stand there looking out the window like this. Neighbor's cows looking and go, what are they doing? In the midst of what we live in and we go through, do we look for the rainbows or do we just see the dark rain clouds? What do you see? What do you focus on? Think about what you think about because His love endures forever. Now, I want to go through verses 4 through 9. You don't have to read with me, but this talks about God being the creator of all things, not most things, all things. To Him alone does great wonders, who by His understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, and the moon and stars to govern the night. His love endures forever. Another version says His love is everlasting. Now, if we could stop right here just for a moment, and I truly don't mean to insult you, but I wonder if anybody in this room really, really knows or understands or appreciates that depth of love. Hopefully you grew up loving your mama and your daddy. If you're married, you say you love your spouse. You say you'd jump in front of a runaway locomotive for your spouse. Well, I want you to know that's imperfect and that's sinful love, okay? That's limited love. Now we say, oh, I love you, but we live in a day and time where that word love is thrown around and should be kicked out. Because I was going to say something today. I was going to use a phrase that I got in trouble for about 8 months ago. Because after church, a little boy came up, tugged on my shirt, and he goes, you said a bad word. I'm like, what? He said, you said a bad word in there. And his mother just stood there. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, help. This already went out live. What did I say? What church member was I thinking about? You know? And I looked at the mom and I said, what did I say? She pulled her son behind her and I thought, oh, Lord. And she said, you said, hold his ears. S-H-U-T-U-P. Now, I want you to know, I still color with the big crayon, so I had to take a step back. Oh, I said, shut up. And he said, oh, I did it again. I was like, for real, that's a bad word now? I mean, I could get busted across the head for saying certain things as a kid, but but y'all as parents don't let your kids say that. You know, I never said that in front of my parents, that's for sure. Definitely never directed it at them. But I almost wanted to start off this message today because there's a very popular phrase. When you hear something that you just can't believe that's so incredible, some people say what? Shush up, right? Or close to it, right? That's a Christian version. That's the pastor-approved version. Hush up! Isn't that what some people say? They're astonished. They can't believe it. What is worthy of repeating? Are your thoughts worthy of repeating? He is the God of all creation. Is there anything He doesn't know? I am amazed as science discovers more about the human body. And it's like, yeah, my father did that. My father did that. They say, oh, the mind, it's able to, you're able to rewire your brain. No, see, God made it so that you could rewire your brain because He said, in the midst of chaos and pain and suffering, think on these things, right? Think on these things. A negative person can become a positive person. I told y'all in a couple of messages ago that negative people, every time they say something negative, it reinforces the negativity in their brain, and their brain continues to make grooves. It makes a pathway of negativity. Now, for you people in the country, I'm going to give you an illustration you can understand. If the critters walk in the same place long enough, you get a what? A trail. I remember as a kid, we'd follow the cow trails through my grandparents' pasture. And those cows, when they got on there, that was like superhighway. They all just stayed on that trail all the way to the tank to get some water. But a negative person can plead with God and say, God, I don't want to be like this anymore. I want to think on the positive things. I want to think on the things that will bring you glory and that will bring you honor. So when it says, think on things that are worthy of repeating, how many things do you say that aren't worthy of repeating? Now, I'm a man of few words, and most people know that. So I would like to think that the majority of time, what's coming out of my mouth is God honoring and lifting up Jesus. But there may be a moment or two when it's not. Then I'm just as wrong as old negative Nelly, right? Because how are people going to know about this love that endures forever if we don't tell them about it? One of the attributes of God that should stay our hearts, give us peace, is that His love endures forever. We live in a day and time where people say, I don't love so-and-so anymore. And we just look at it as like, yeah, well, didn't work, did it? Well, no, it probably never was love. And they probably didn't know the love of God, which is forever, because only the God of everlasting love can help you love somebody in spite of their shortcomings. Does that make sense? But you realize how messed up you are, but how much God still loves you. Did you know that no matter how messed up you are, you're never so far that God can't reach down and pick you up? Did you know that? So if you're one of these spiritual whiners, I want you to just confess your sins today and turn it over to God. Oh, you don't know how bad a person I am. God could never love me. And I'm like, until you have climbed up on the cross and forgiven your own sins, stop saying silly things. You beat yourself up over your own sins. That's great. You recognize you're a sinner. Amen. You're halfway there, folks. You're halfway there. You are a dirty, rotten, no good sinner. Your sweet little grandma with the red apron that bakes that pie and stuff, she's a dirty, rotten sinner too. Now, if your grandma knew Jesus, then your grandma was a dirty, rotten sinner that was forgiven. And then she probably looked like Jesus to you. She probably loved on you like Jesus. And some of you, your best example of love and acceptance might have been a grandparent. You know, parents are kind of hard because what do we say as parents most of the time? No. But as grandparents, it's a little gentler, isn't it? A little more compassionate, maybe. You will never do anything that would make God say, you know what, I'm done, I'm leaving. That's the last straw. And for you to say your sin can't be forgiven, you make a mockery of the cross of Calvary. You spit in Jesus' face. You tell him that he is not the savior of the world. He is not the rescuer of all millennium. You say that it's impossible for him to do what he said he has done. You call Jesus a liar when you say your past forgiveness. I just want you to know, I'm being honest with you right now, okay? There's nothing you've done that God can't forgive. How long is that forgiveness open to you? Folks, if you're breathing, you have opportunity. Stop pretending to be the biggest sinner that ever walked the face of the earth. You don't have to be this kind of sinner to experience the love of Jesus Christ. He's a God of all creation. Did you know that when God made you, he knows how you work, he knows how you think. You know what God built into you? A little part in your heart that until he lives there, you're never satisfied. Oh, man, what do we try to fill it with? What do we try to fill it with? Come on, help me. What do we fill it with? Drugs, alcohol, money, fame, fortune, all the stuff, junk. And we get it in there, and then we realize, I got a lot of stuff, but I still don't have that peace in my life. And God says, I am the peace that's missing. You will never be worthy of the forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers. But because of God's loving kindness and Jesus' faithfulness to go to that cross, you see, he took your sins on that cross. He took them. He did it for you. He did it before you ever loved him. How many people out here can tell me you loved somebody when they hated you? You didn't give up on them. Most of us give up on the people we love on, much less the people that hate on us, don't we? Not Jesus. If your spouse knew all the mistakes and shortcomings you would make, if they were able to sit down in marriage counseling and I was able to say, here's a short list of 5,952 things that your future spouse is going to say or do to hurt your feelings, look them over. Are we done with marriage counseling? You ready to go to the convent and become a nun? How many of you might go, hey, wait a minute. She going to stand there and tell me she loves me and then she going to say that later? She going to do that? Y'all see where I'm going with this? Jesus knew your mistakes, your shortcomings, and your failures. And he did what? He loved you anyway. Because what? His love endures forever. I don't know what you're going through, but his love endures forever. And I'll tell you what. It's tough enough to remember that phrase as a child of God sometimes, isn't it? Can I be the first to tell you it's really hard? The preacher has to remind himself of that all the time. His love endures forever. Do you know that love? Please bow your heads. Father in heaven, we come to you by the graces and mercies of Jesus, our Savior. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. And Father, for every time that we have entrusted you, we confess that sin to you. Every time that we doubted your love that lasts forever, we confess that to you. Father, in this room are your children that love you. And as a community called Lifeway Church, our obligation, our privilege to you is to live in such a way that our family and our neighbors would say, I want some of that. Because your love endures forever, not only for me, but for my wayward family, for my distant relatives, for my next door neighbor, for the people I work with, for the people at the grocery store. Your love endures forever for them. And when you loved me, you asked me to start being an example of that love and then to share that love. Ultimately, God, your love is everlasting so that we might share the everlasting Savior with a lost and dying world. Father, are we hunkered down in the corner, anxious about our own situations right now? Or have we said, God, in the midst of this, I want to live my faith. I want to share my faith. I want to be what you've called me to be. Father, we confess that we don't always do what we should. And so right now, Father, we come to you as humbly as we know how. And we ask for an opportunity and a challenge this week to go throughout our day as a child of God with our head held up high, confessing you as Savior in an imperfect world, with imperfect families, in an imperfect society. Father, we're not going to change this world. You're going to change this world. May we be obedient and share the gospel of grace. Father, for anybody in this room that does not have that absolute assurance right now, Father, I just ask them for a moment, consider this. Have I confessed my sins to God? Have I believed in Jesus, His Son, to be my rescuer, my Savior, the one that will forgive my sins and guarantee me a place in eternity because His love endures forever? Have I trusted in that? Or have I trusted in a man-made model? Father, is my faith grounded in you or a church or a man or a denomination? Father, right now, today, I may not even be sure anymore. It's been so long. I ask you to prayerfully consider calling on His name right now. For those of you who are not absolutely sure, from your heart, the Word says that if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive them. So right now, if God is speaking to you, just call out and say, God, I confess I'm a sinner. Jesus, you are my only hope and you are my rescue. Today I claim you. Although I don't understand how all this works, by faith, I believe what you've said. I believe the stories in the scriptures. And I want to live a different way. I want to know that I am loved forever and that I will be loved forever in heaven with you. Today I cross that line of faith. I pray that someone online watching has prayed that prayer. Father, I pray that someone in this room prayed that prayer. Father, I pray the rest of us remember what it was like when we prayed that prayer and we are renewed. We are energized by your Spirit to live what you've called us to live in Jesus' name. Amen.